Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us today. As you probably already know, by this point in time, there's been two significant decisions that have come down from the United States Supreme Court. And in some of the, these are just coming out now. The ruling has come within the last half hour. And so a lot of people are just now poring over the rulings to try to determine and analyze exactly what these rulings mean. Now, we were set up with Jimmy Dean, the news editor for World Magazine, to be on the first part of the program today. And in the providence of God, we actually had her set to talk about Exodus International and Alan Chambers and the closing of Exodus International. And so that relates to homosexuality and the Christian response to homosexuality and so forth. And so she is writing or has written an article about that subject. And so we're scheduled to have her on. We're now calling on the line to get Jamie on the line so that she can talk about that issue. But obviously, that relates very closely to what we're talking about today. The court struck down today, it struck down the Defense of Marriage Act, or more popularly known as DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. And so the court struck down a key provision of that act. Now, that was an act that was passed by Congress and signed into law under Bill Clinton, by Bill Clinton, in the Clinton administration. And then later on, just to give a little bit of context to it, President Obama and Eric Holder refused to actually defend the law. And so here was a duly passed law from the Congress, but then President Obama said he would not defend it. And Eric Holder, He charged Eric Holder with not defending that law, and they just basically ignored what Congress has passed. Well, that then wound through the courts, made its way all the way up to the United States Supreme Court, and so this is where it was heard then months ago, and now finally decided on today. At least the ruling came out today from the court, which is their last day of the U.S. Supreme Court. They always leave these big decisions towards the end. And so DOMA was struck down. There was also a second related issue that was taking place, and the related issue that was taking place was about Prop 8 and the whether or not the state of California would recognize gay marriage as well. Now, you may remember all of the issues that took place with Prop 8. I wish I could had it ready in my mind here to give you the context exactly, but there was a lot more than this that took place. But basically, this went before the citizens of the state of California, and the citizens of California voted to ban gay marriage in the state of California. That was then overturned by a court, an appellate court. They overturned the will of the people and said that that was not allowed to stand. Again, this made its way now all the way through the court system, and that has come all the way to the Supreme Court. And basically, the Supreme Court, while they didn't strike down Prop 8 completely, they seemed to open up the door for gay marriage in the state of California. Now, we've had gay marriage pass in other states already, And so what is the significance of this? Another state, of course, that has bought on to the idea of gay marriage. That's one thing. Secondly, the fact of the way that it was done, that it was passed by a ban against this, was passed by the citizens of the state of California, and then to have the U.S. government say that they can't do that in their own state. That's what is significant, more significant about this issue. Now, the court, the high court, the way that they did this was they said that the people who brought the legislation or the case, I should say, before the U.S. Supreme Court, the court said that those people did not have jurisdiction in this case. And let me explain to you the best I can as to what they mean by that. Apparently, although the people of California voted for a ban against gay marriage in their state, the government of California, the elected officials, like DOMA on the national level, on the federal level, refused to honor what the people had voted on. They basically would not enforce that what Prop 8 was. They would not enforce the people's will of a ban against gay marriage in their state. And so since they wouldn't enforce it, another group then brought this all the way to the Supreme Court. What the Supreme Court said, the U.S. Supreme Court said was, what their ruling basically is that those people who brought, and I don't know exactly who they are, what the title of that group is, but those people who brought this case to the Supreme Court, that they lacked the jurisdiction in order to be able to enforce this at the Supreme Court level. So, you know, this is disturbing to see the way that these things are coming about. It's one thing that if we just have a clear Supreme Court ruling on whether one thing is constitutional or not, that's one thing. You know, this is the system that we have set up here, and you know, that speaks to the whole idea of judicial activism and the importance of having the right people on the court and so forth. So that's one thing. But it's something completely different when these backdoor, you know, procedural ways of overriding the will of the people in a particular state, this is something completely different. And I think people, even on both sides of this issue, whether you are pro-gay right or whether you're not, like myself, that I think that this is, there's absolutely no, there's no precedence here to override. What's happening is a change in the definition of marriage, and there's no reason to do this whatsoever. So I think that what people on both sides of that argument should be saying here, that it is disturbing to see the way that the government officials are bringing about what they want done rather than the will of the American people. That's the point that should come out of this, and I think that's the point really that should be made here and that people should focus on. You know, California, you know, it's not surprising, I don't think, to many people that there are many people in California that would think this way about gay marriage. I don't think that's shocking to many people in the listening audience. I think what's shocking, though, is that the gymnastics that the elected officials are willing to go through in order to thwart the will of the people. That's really, I think, what the story is here. Now, I think when we combine these two issues together, I think that we've got to acknowledge that there is a tremendous amount of confusion in the country today concerning the issue of marriage. I hear many Christians talking, and you know, I just heard a quote from Rob Schenck, was just there on the – Rob Schenck is actually Catholic, but he's a lot of quotes from people in this country that say things, well, you know, God is the one who ultimately ordains marriage, and that is absolutely true. But we're talking about whether or not then as Christians – we can't just say, well, this is what the Christian position is on this, and it doesn't matter what the country does or what the court does. We have an obligation to be involved in the political realm as well, and we have an obligation to be interested in what is taking place in our society today. We can't just take a hands-off approach and say, well, you know, we as Christians don't believe that, and so what, whatever the court decides or whatever. We have to be interested in what is taking place here, and we are interested in having the proper view, the biblical view of what is taking place. We're interested in making that case and persuading people in the country to see the wisdom of God and what he has done. So I'm not of that persuasion that just, you know, well, the marriages that I do, you know, they're before Almighty God, and it doesn't matter what the court says. Actually, in this just this past week, I married someone on Saturday afternoon, and in the marriage, I say that at the end of the marriage, by the authority invested in me by Almighty God and the state of South Carolina, I now present you man and wife. And so I said that this past Saturday, and I believe that of course, ultimately, it is by the power invested. And notice the way I say it, the one supersedes the other. There's no doubt about that. Almighty God supersedes the state on this issue. But nevertheless, I am licensed in the state of South Carolina as well, and given the authority to perform marriages here in the state of South Carolina. Now, where is this going? You know, well, where it's going is, well, let me speak more a little bit about the core issue here. The core issue is the definition of marriage. That's what it's been from the very beginning. How are we going to define marriage? A lot of people that say, you know what, if these two gay people want to get together and they want to do this, I don't care. You know, so what? Let them go ahead and get together. It doesn't have anything to do with me and so forth. Well, that particular scenario that you outlined may not have much to do with you. And to tell you the truth, we don't believe in a government that would regulate what people do in their own private life. They are responsible before Almighty God for what they're involved in. And that particular relationship, a homosexual relationship, is a sinful relationship in the eyes of God. And they're going to have, we can state that very clearly and say that from the scriptures. There's no doubt about it. This is what the Word of God teaches. And there is, you can twist it, you know, as much as you'd like. But at the end of the day, if you're willing to take an honest look at what the scriptures clearly teach, you will see beyond the shadow of a doubt that the scriptures clearly teach that homosexuality is a sin. There's no doubt about that whatsoever from the Word of God. What is at issue here is not whether or not those two people have a right or a right in the sense of that the government cannot so be over their life to tell them that they cannot commit a sin in their life. You know, if you want to say that they have a right that way, that is completely acceptable for you to say that they have a right to sin before Almighty God. They're going to be judged by that sin by God. But what we're arguing is they do not have a right to call that marriage, because the word marriage, by definition, means something. And what that has meant historically, not just in the rather short historical context of the United States of America, but historically across the globe and historically throughout history, a long line of history from the very beginning of man, from the very beginning of time, from the creation of man. What it has historically meant, it has historically meant a union between one woman and one man. Now that is, that is precedent. That is without, you can't argue against that. It is overwhelming precedent. And what is disturbing is when we see that a court would override that level of precedent. You know, courts are interested in precedent. And when they have this huge, mountainous amount of precedents for what marriage is defined as, you can't easily override that and still call yourself, I don't think, a legitimate court. And so, and when we see them doing that, redefining it, that's when things are very problematic. We've got Jamie Dean on the line now. Jamie, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Jamie, I imagine you've been busy the last half an hour or so, or last 45 minutes, with the court decisions that have come down. We originally have you scheduled, of course, to speak about what's taking place with Exodus International, which is not an unrelated issue. So let's weave that maybe into our discussion here. But obviously, people are interested in what is taking place with the court in just the last 45 minutes.
Sure. And like you, I'm sure I'm reading the news myself and kind of absorbing it. We'll have a full report, by the way, on our website in just a little while. Emily Bells is one of our reporters who covers the Supreme Court, and she's been following this all along. But just the tail end of what I heard you say just a moment ago, I think you're right. I think this is a discouraging moment, certainly for the courts, for those of us who are hoping that the courts would defend what was a constitutional. And so, you know, I think that what's going to be interesting to see is what how this plays out state by state. You know, basically, in terms of California, they've punted the issue back to California. California is almost certain to retain gay marriage in that state. But what will it mean state by state, especially for those that have passed gay marriage bans? That's what we don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a great precedent that's being set, but it's not an ironclad precedent. So
right.
There's going to be a lot of vigilance state-by-state level at this point.
Yeah, the DOMA decision, two different decisions, of course, and we're trying to clarify that, but the DOMA decision, you know, that the Defense of Marriage Act seemed to be saying that that if a state recognized a gay couple as being legitimately married, if they had already redefined marriage in that state to say that it could take place between something other than a man and a woman, then that the federal government statement on the Defense of Marriage Act couldn't override what the state had said. And so that, in principle, is something that we agree with. We agree with state rights and that states have rights to make a decision that then the federal government shouldn't be able to override. Is that clear on the DOMA side of this thing?
Yeah, I think that that's right. That would apply to states that have already passed gay marriage. So yes, that's a right way of seeing that.
And then in the second one, the Prop 8, as you were rightly pointing out, now they're billing this as something completely different, of course, and the headlines are speak of this differently. But basically, with the Prop 8 case, their actual ruling is that the folks who brought it to the Supreme Court, that they did not have jurisdiction to bring it there. And from what I understand in that is that the people who brought it were not the state of South Carolina, the state of California. It wasn't their elected officials. It wasn't their duly, the attorney general and those types of folks who would normally defend a decision that was made by the people. They have abrogated their duties on defending this, so somebody else has brought this to the Supreme Court, and those people don't have jurisdiction.
Right. It's a private party, essentially, and what the court said was that they haven't ruled to allow a private party to bring a case like this to the Supreme Court, which is why they said they returned it to California. That
right.
Private party, in my understanding, is made up of people who were supporters of the ban. And so that's why the court says that they have returned it back to the state, because they can't allow this private party to bring this to them.
Right. So we're going to have to just digest this information a little bit more. Supposedly, then, the folks that that were representing the people of California who successfully got Prop 8 put through, you know, that the people voted to ban same-sex marriage in California, that they say that this is not a done deal, that they still have some options to be able to do this back at the state level, and we'll just have to see how that turns out. It may not be, you know, on the surface, it's, you know, like the judge has gay day at the high court. I'm not so sure that at the end of the day when we pour over the ramifications here, that there isn't, it's not what they're making it out to be. It's not that America has suddenly, in all 50 states, you know, now decided that gay marriage is the rule of the land. So I don't think people should take it that way. We should just hold on a little bit till we digest the significance, I think, of all of these rulings. So with that, let's say that the other thing that we're going to speak with you about was Exodus International. And we've been having some, you know, some issues there with Alan Chambers. Doesn't seem to be, you know, as aggressively standing up against homosexual sin as aggressively as we would like to see him do this in this organization. This has kind of come to a head now, and it's shutting down. Give us a little bit of what, I don't know if your story has actually come out yet. I know you're writing a story on it, but I don't know if it's actually been released.
We have some coverage up on our website right now. Yes, we do. But we also have a story that's going to come out on Friday morning that will include an interview with Alan and then some other folks who have responded to what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
But the long and short of it is that Exodus International, for nearly 40 years, has been an organization that has helped people who want to leave behind homosexuality and embrace Christ. I think that they've grown to recognize that leaving homosexuality doesn't mean that all temptation leaves, and that a Christian still has to battle temptations, and sometimes the same temptations over a lifetime. And I think that that's a right position that they've evolved to take over time. But as you mentioned, the leader of the group, Alan Chambers, has not only evolved in that way, but he's really shifted in his thinking in regards to what an unrepentant lifestyle would say about the state of a person's heart.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, last January, he went to a meeting of what's called the Gay Christian Network. So this would be people who identify themselves as gay and say they're Christians.
Right.
And Alan said to that group, we're all Christians, all of us. And so, you know, some of us went to Alan and said, well, look, what would you say about the fact that the fruit of a person's life reveals the state of the heart? We're not talking about people battling temptation necessarily. We're talking about people who refuse to give up what the Bible says is sinful. And his response to that is, well, I can't judge someone's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a little bit of a circular argument that you'll get into with him about that, and he really is adamant about that. So I think his critics in Christian circles have been really concerned that he could be giving people false hope,
yeah,
people who should perhaps be concerned about the state of their souls. He's giving them false hope, and that's really been what a lot of the controversy has been about over the last year. So in the last week or so, Exodus has come out and said that they are planning to shut down operations. Alan says he still believes homosexuality is a sin, but he doesn't want to emphasize that as much anymore. They'll start a new group that will be more welcoming in their tone and that sort of thing. So Exodus, as we know it, and what it really had been for nearly 40 years, is really over at this point.
Yeah, it seems like I don't know why they didn't just remove Alan Chambers. He doesn't seem to be thinking clearly on this issue. I mean, it needs people that really can clearly articulate. It doesn't need a guy at the helm who's still questioning what he believes on this issue. It needs a guy at the helm who has worked this all out and can clearly speak to the people that are coming there. And so I don't know why they just didn't have him step down and have somebody else take the lead.
Well, I think the short answer to that is that his board members agree with him.
Yeah.
I think that they've all sort of shifted in their thinking, or at least some of them. I know some board members have left over the past year, it was my understanding. But I think by and large, the board voted to do this. So you're not alone in this thinking, but it, that thinking in general is a departure from where conservative Christians have long been.
Yeah. I've had Joe Dallas, who was a former head of, maybe that's why he's the former head of Exodus International, on the program many times. I shot him an email yesterday just asking him to comment on this, and I haven't heard back from him yet. But, you know, his position on it is much more solid. I would recommend to people to, at this point, just forget about Exodus International. They seem to be unsure of what they actually believe, and just move on. And I would encourage you to check out Joe Dallas and the statements that he makes. He seems to not have this this same quandary about what the Scripture says and what we should be upholding. I think it's very disturbing to, at a time like this, to be publicly questioning what you believe and to be so unclear as to even attend one of those meetings about the gay Christian thing. It's sorry to see it go that way, but I think we just need to be clear ourselves and say, you know what, they no longer represent the Christian position on this, and I would just advise people to move on and find another organization that does. Well, Jamie, we're looking forward to your article on this issue on Friday. And to really hear Alan in his own words, I've read through it already, at least the pre-press of it from the thing. I still was like, I'm not quite sure where he's coming from or what he believes.
Yeah.
And so it's muddy. It's muddy.
It's muddy at best. And that is some of the frustrating thing is that you can track with him for a while, and then all of a sudden he just sort of departs from what seems logical and reasonable. So, and I just quickly say that in that article on Friday, we will also mention another group that is working on this issue, specifically helping people struggling with all kinds of sexual sin, including homosexuality. It's a group called Harvest USA.
Yeah.
That's very clear, very, very clear on this issue. And I would certainly commend that organization.
Good, because if there's one thing we need right now, it's clarity. If we want muddled messages, we've always got the political realm that we can go to.
Exactly.
We don't need the muddled messages out of the Christian community as well. We need clarity. You know, people are going to respond, as that verse in the Scripture that speaks about, to the trumpet sound, you know, and when the battle is raging, the last thing we need is an uncertain sound from the trumpeters. And so we need clarity to know exactly what the people of God should do. And so I would look forward to being able to post that article when it comes out on Friday. So we really appreciate it. You know what we get from World Magazine is clarity. And that's what we like about World Magazine. There's plenty of other news sources out there, but we get muddled messages from them so often. We like the clarity that we get from World Magazine. So, Jamie, thank you so much. I know you're busy today running around with everything taking place news-wise. Thank you so much for taking the time out to visit with us here on the Knowing the Truth radio program. We really appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome. Thanks always for having us.
Okay. Thank you so much. Again, that was Jamie Dean. Jamie is the news editor from the World Magazine. And as I mentioned, if you want to get it from a biblical perspective, you know, what is taking place, if you want to hear oftentimes a side of the discussion that you don't normally hear, then tune into World Magazine, because that's where you'll find out more. www.worldmag.com. Up next, we're going to be speaking with James O'Keefe about his book, Breakthrough, A Guerrilla War to Expose Fraud and Save Democracy. You don't want to miss this. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.